This is Audible.
Macmillan Audio presents Demon in the Wood by Leigh Bardugo. Read by Ben Barnes, Tom Bromhead, James Fohey, Sean Gormley, Matt Lysey, Mary McCartney, Cassandra Morris, Ethan Reiter, Sally Safioti, and Benjamin Valick.
There are witches in the woods. Don't laugh, child. They hide between the trees, in villages and towns. One may be listening to us right now. Tide makers, who control the seas. Squallers, the winds. And Inferni, who shape fire. Heartrenders, who can crush the lungs in your chest. North, in the cold wilds of Fjerda. South, in the forests and fields of Ravka. And here in the borderlands, these creatures move through our world, twisting it as they like. They are cursed. And they curse everything and everyone in their path. We call them witches, but they call themselves Grisha.
Do you think there are any Grisha around here?
Could be.
Stop frightening them. No Grisha to fear in these mountains.
There aren't?
They wouldn't dare. They're too scared of the witch hunters, the Druskala.
I want to be a witch hunter.
In the borderlands south of Fjerda, a boy stood at the edge of the forest, looking down at the quiet village below, the village he and his mother had carefully avoided. Now they would continue north into the snow-covered mountains.
Something wrong?
That's in Okazatia village, isn't it? You said we would reach the Grisha camp tomorrow.
If the weather holds.
Is it safe for the camp to be so close to that village?
Once the deep snows come, no one will venture into these mountain passes, not even to hunt. The camp will be secure.
She urged her mount up the slope, and he followed on foot.
Now, what's your name?
Eric.
Where are you from?
Balakirev.
And what's my name?
Madraya.
Wretched boy. Let's hope the Ula doesn't try to call me mother. Tell me my name.
Lena. For now.
For now.
Do we have to change our names every time?
You know we do. The world isn't safe for Grisha, and it's particularly dangerous for the two of us. You don't get to be a child like the others.
What if they ask me about my father?
You tell them he's dead.
Is he?
He will be, in the blink of an eye. You'll outlive him by 100 years. Maybe 1,000. Maybe more. He's only dust to you.
They went on like that as they made their way up the mountain. It was a foothill, really. One of the cold and silent peaks that marked the very beginnings of the Elgin Range.
Again, what's your name?
Eric.
Where are you from?
Balakirev.
As night fell, they wedged their tent inside an old hunter's blind. Lantern light spilled out across the snow. Eric watched from inside the shelter as his mother fetched a bundle of furs from her saddle and passed it to him.
You'll stay here tonight.
What about you?
I'm going to scout ahead. You know that Grisha are always cautious of outsiders. Here, look.
His mother set their lantern down on a tattered map of Fjerda. The village they had seen was marked on it, as well as the mountains. She traced a winding path through them with her finger.
This is where we are now. The camp is a few hours farther on.
She passed him a small loaf of bread from under her cloak.
Rye bread, a water skin. They should last you one night. I'll have to take the lantern.
But I...
He knew he couldn't ask her to leave it. He was too old to be afraid of the dark. Still, as she left the shelter, he couldn't help but follow the warm light.
It's our only one.
I know. I'll need it to light the way. You'll be all right, won't you?
You're too old to be afraid of the dark.
I'll be fine.
I should be back by midday.
He watched her ride away up the hillside. It had begun to snow. When the lantern's light vanished among the trees, he was left alone in darkness. That night he huddled in the firs and nibbled on the rye bread she'd left him.
You're too old to be afraid of the dark.
He curled up tightly beneath the firs. He knew he would never be able to sleep, but still he covered his ears with his hands.
What's your name?
Eric.
Eric.
That night, he dreamed of all the boys he'd been. In 13 years, he'd had 100 names. A new story for every town, camp, and city. Arkady, Yosef, Starsky, Anton, Kirill, and now, Eric.
We learn what we can, then move on and do our best to hide our tracks.
He woke the next day to the sound of his mother returning. She pulled aside the hides that covered the shelter's entrance.
Up.
They broke camp quickly. They had done it so many times. And besides, they had so little.
Shh. If anything goes wrong, you know what to do.
I know.
Fight and keep fighting.
They headed up the slope. The Grisha camp lay on the far side of the mountain.
What's your name?
Huh? Eric.
Keep practicing.
Eric. Eric.
Oh. There.
They had stopped on a high ridge. Below them, the Grisha camp was tucked into a shallow valley between two peaks. A cluster of low huts surrounding a long, narrow lodge of thick timber, all of them covered in snow, smoke curling from their chimneys.
We could winter with them.
For how long?
Until the thaw.
3 months? Four? All in one place?
The Ula is a powerful squaller, and he's seen combat with these new Fjerdan witch hunters. We could stand to learn whatever he has to teach.
All in one place.
She guided her horse down the hillside toward camp as he walked along beside her. He knew winter would be hard here. Long nights, brutal cold. And the Otkazatsia village they'd skirted on the trek was too close. But still, it meant a roof over his head, hot meals, and waking up in the same room every morning without his heart hammering as he tried to remember where he was.
All right.
All right. I saw the way your face lit. Just remember, the longer we stay, the more careful you'll have to be. Look, the Ula himself has come out to greet us.
You said that word before. What does it mean?
Ula means chieftain. We'll have to work on your Fjerdan some more.
I already know Shuinkirch, on top of Ravkin.
You need to fit in everywhere.
She handed her horse's reins to him. The man walking towards them, the Ula, was a giant of a man with red gold hair and beard. Behind him were four smaller men, older men. They were watching the Ula's progress, but they made no move to follow him.
Who are those other men?
Ah, they call themselves elders. Old men stroking their beards and congratulating one another on their wisdom.
Welcome, Lena. How was your journey?
Tiring.
Oh, you shame me as a host. The elders would have gladly sent men and horses to fetch Eric.
Neither my son nor I need coddling.
Eric knew there was more to it. If the elders had sent men with his mother to retrieve him, she would have had to reveal the hunter's blind. She never gave up a hiding place or a possible escape route without good reason.
That may be so, but know that you are both very welcome here.
So you have told me. But it seems we have a somewhat reluctant welcoming party.
Nonsense. In fact, the elders are meeting shortly, and we would be honored if you joined us, Lena.
Would you?
Some of them object to having a woman at a council meeting, but they were outvoted.
Honesty is always best, Ula. That way I know just how many fools I need to work to convince.
They are set in their ways, and you are not only a woman, but... they fear you are not entirely natural.
I see.
She held up her hand and let the tendrils of darkness gather in her palm.
The first men to see bears thought they were monsters. My power is unfamiliar, not unnatural.
A bear is still dangerous. It still has claws and teeth to maul a man.
And men have spears and steel. Do not play the weakling with me, Ula.
Eric saw the flash of anger that moved over the big man's face at his mother's tone. Then his eyes turned merry.
I like your ferocity, Lena. But have a care with the old men.
Lena and the Ula walked toward the waiting elders, and Eric followed, leading the horse.
Speaking of bears, a large one has been spotted in the area. We believe it may be an amplifier.
Oh?
Some of the men are organizing a hunt. Perhaps you'd like to join us?
Eric saw a ripple pass through the elders at the Ula's offer. He was sure his mother saw it too.
A moment, Ula.
The senior of the four elders stepped forward. His beard was white, and he carried a thick wooden staff.
This should be a matter of rank. A Grisha who wears the bones of an amplifier can augment his power greatly.
That's right. Should the honor of hunting an amplifier really fall to an outsider? Think of that power wasted on a woman. We are welcoming Lena and her son as members of this camp. They are not outsiders. But as to who makes the kill...
Lena raised one arm above her head. She brought her arm down as her hand made a slashing motion. So great was her control that she sliced through the elder's staff, just a whisper above his fist.
You may keep your amplifier. I have no need for trinkets of bone to grant me power.
Was that the cut?
Abomination.
The Ula led them to a hut and pulled back the hides that covered the gap between the door and the crude wooden lintel. Eric and Lena followed him in. Inside it was snug and warm, though it stank of wet fur, and something else Eric couldn't identify.
Please be at your ease here. We want you to feel at home. Now, Eric, do you think you can be happy here?
Dergit Verastjel. We are grateful guests.
Ah, you know the traditional greeting. Felhorn ve kupjet. Our home is better for it.
Why is there no wall around the camp?
Does that worry you? The villagers barely know we're here. They certainly don't know what we are.
Someone must. That's how we found you.
My son asks a good question. I saw no fortifications and only one man on watch.
Start building walls and people begin to wonder what you're hiding. We keep our buildings low. We don't raid the villagers' fields or farms, or empty their forests of game. Better that they do not notice us, than that they think we have something they want. You'll be safe here. And if you stay until the spring, we may go see the white tigers in the permafrost.
Tigers?
Maybe that will earn me a real smile. My son will tell you all about them.
Once the Ula had gone, Eric's mother sat down on the edge of her sleeping pallet. It had been raised off the floor to keep out the cold and was piled high with furs as a sign of respect.
All right.
Eric knew what was coming. He sat down with his back to the wall to face her.
Tell me.
Can we stay until the spring?
We'll see. Tell me about the camp.
12 huts. 8 have work in chimneys.
Why?
Those are for Grisha of greater status.
Good. What else?
The Ula is rich, but his hands are calloused. He does his own work. And he walks with a limp.
Old or new injury?
Old.
Are you guessing?
The wear on the side of his boot shows that he's been favoring that leg a long while.
Go on.
He lied about the elders.
Oh, did he?
None of them voted to have you at the meeting. But the Ula demanded it.
How do you know?
It was the sound of the Ula's voice. The way the elders stood apart from him as they watched us come down the hill.
You read the flow of power the way others chart tides. It will make you a great leader. Anything else?
Ugh. This hut smells terrible.
It's animal fat. Probably reindeer. The northerners use it in their lamps. It could be worse. Remember the swamp near Koba? Ugh.
I'm pretty sure there was just one smelly heart render. It's like this wherever we go, though. Grisha living in smelly tents, broken down mines, hiding out in tunnels. Grisha don't own land, always live on the run. None of it feels real, permanent.
But you want to stay, smell and all?
Anything to spend a whole season in one place.
Good.
She stood and adjusted her furs, then pulled a heavy garnet ring from her pack and placed it on her finger.
Wish me luck at the meeting. Will you go exploring?
Sure.
Be careful. Don't let anyone...
I know.
Just until you're strong enough. Until you learn how to defend yourself. And remember, you're...
Eric, I know. It's my own name I'm afraid of forgetting.
His mother placed her hand on his heart and pressed lightly.
Your true name is written here, tattooed on your heart. You don't let just anyone read it.
I know.
You sound like a crow cawing.
What do you think they did over there anyway? Outside, his mother gave him a little shove away from their hut.
Be back before dark.
Eric walked towards the edge of the camp. He was aware of the other Grisha noticing him. They had to be curious, but no one spoke to him. He knew by now not to force it. He would let them come to him. He wandered into the forest. As he walked, he practiced calling and shaping the darkness. When would he develop the control his mother had, he wondered, thinking of the way she had snapped the elder's walking stick. He still hadn't mastered the cut. His mother had managed it when she was half his age. He heard a girl's laughter. A little farther on, he could see a clearing. Despite his nerves, he made himself keep walking. The trees began to thin, and he saw them. Two girls playing on the banks of a stream, They had light hair and blue eyes, the Fjordan colouring that was common in the Borderlands. The smaller girl was hopping from rock to rock across the stream. The older one looked about his age, maybe a little older.
Careful, Sylvie.
Annika, it's fine.
Taking a deep breath, Eric stepped out of the trees and raised his hand in a wave.
Hello. Are you?
We speak Ravkin. Sylvie, stop that. Get back here.
No! Watch me, Annika!
Eric walked a little way upstream to where he could study the water playing in the rapids and sat down on a rock. He picked up a stick and let the tip drift in the water, feeling the tug of the current. He'd stopped trying to make friends in the places he and his mother visited. There was no point when they moved on so quickly. Now he wasn't sure how to go about it. A moment later, the little girl appeared beside him.
Are you Lena's son?
Uh-huh.
Can you do that thing? The same thing she can?
Yes.
Can I see?
Don't be rude, Sylvie.
I want to see!
It's okay.
Eric lifted his hand and drew a circle of darkness in the air. It twisted and curled, its tendrils tugging at the sunlight, before they faded.
Again!
He smiled and repeated the gesture. This time he let the circle roll toward her. She poked her fingers through it and watched as her fingertips vanished. She pulled her hand back. Eric glanced over at the other girl. She was still keeping her distance.
Try!
Leave him alone, Sylvie.
What's your name?
Eric.
I don't like that name.
Me neither.
Why don't you change it?
Maybe I will.
Do that thing again.
Stop pestering him, Sylvie.
Eric stood. Using both hands this time, he created another circle, but this time made it spiral larger. He fashioned the darkness into a disc that floated beside the rapids like a black door that might lead anywhere. Sylvie stepped toward it.
Sylvie, don't!
Annika ran to stop her, but she was too late. Sylvie walked through the door and into the darkness, vanishing.
Sylvie!
I can't see you. Can you see me?
Bring her back.
She's standing right there.
Eric gave a flick of his fingers. The door vanished, and there was Sylvie, arms held out in front of her. Annika grabbed Sylvie, hugging her tightly.
Why'd you stop?
Are you okay?
What's the matter?
Nothing. I... Sorry.
Eric sat down again beside the stream, his back to the girl who couldn't meet his eye.
I've just never seen anything like that up close.
He picked up his stick and dragged it back through the current of the stream. He could tell she was embarrassed, and her words had stung.
Listen, I'm sorry, I...
How hard can it be to kill? The trick is tracking it.
Well, as if you could take on a bear.
Bet Lev could.
Right.
Three older boys crashed into the clearing, shoving each other and laughing. The tallest one, the leader, had red gold hair like the Ule. When he spotted Eric and the girls, he stopped. Annika grabbed Sylvie's hand as the boys walked over.
Come out to practice, Annika. You certainly need it.
We were just leaving, Lev.
Hey, you. You're the other shadow summoner, aren't you? You came with the Night Witch.
Don't use that word.
Witch? What's the big deal?
If you'd seen a Droskala raid, you'd know. Come on, Sylvie, let's go.
I don't want to.
Oh, don't leave on our account.
Lev twisted his wrist, and gusts of air spiraled to life, lifting pine needles off the ground and forming a small cyclone that danced down the bank of the stream. Sylvie clapped her hands and chased the little storm. She pounced on it, just as it vanished.
You make one, Annika.
Yeah, you make one.
Annika closed her eyes and raised her hands. Water swelled from the creek's surface in a shivering arc.
Whoa!
As Annika moved her hands, the water spiraled slowly left, then collapsed in a splash.
Weak! Just like your father! You should spend more time training and less time playing with this runt.
What's a runt?
You're a runt. Small and stunted and useless. A little Utkazatsya mistake.
Sylvie's lip trembled. Eric stood, unsure of what he meant to do. He knew his mother wouldn't want him to get involved in a conflict with the Ule's son.
Leave her alone.
She shouldn't be here. This is a Grisha camp.
Some people don't show their power until later.
She's Utkazatsya, and you know it. One more weakling in a family full of weaklings. She should go. Hell, you should all go. You can't carry your own weight.
That isn't your decision.
No, it's my father's decision. Maybe we should just drown the runt now. Put her out of her misery.
Lev took a step toward the little girl.
I said leave her alone!
Annika raised her arms. This time, the water whipped up from the creek in a slash of stinging spray. Before it could reach Lev, he gave a flick of his hand, and the water dissipated into mist.
This should be fun.
Lev lifted his arms and a gust of air slammed through the woods, knocking both girls to the ground. Annika wrapped Sylvie in her arms as the wind roared between the trees, snapping branches, pummeling them with debris.
It hurts!
Before he could think better of it, a skein of darkness shot from Eric's hand and wrapped itself around Lev. It circled the boy's body like a snake and closed over his face. Lev sank to his knees.
I can't see! Help me!
The other boys took a step forward. Eric gathered the darkness in his hands again and launched it at them. They clawed at the shadows trying to free themselves, but they too were blinded. Eric felt the dark curling around him in black waves. He walked up to Lev and shoved him backward.
I can't see! I can't see!
Go back to camp and leave us alone.
Give me back my eyes, you bastard!
Go!
The three boys stumbled away, bumping into one another, grabbing at each other's sleeves. They staggered down the path, arms held out before them as they careened from tree to tree. Eric kept the darkness swirling around their heads until they were 100 yards away. Then he let it go. The boys bolted toward the camp.
Done with you!
Oh, I want to learn to do that! I am Grisha! The shadows do my bidding!
She still thinks she can learn to be Grisha. One day she'll figure it out. It's been so hard since we got here. They want warriors, not more mouths to feed. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Annika ran after Sylvie. Then she waved to Eric to follow. He caught up with them, and he and Annika walked together as Sylvie raced ahead. The sun was setting when they reached camp. The girls waved goodbye, and Eric was surprised to find himself smiling and waving back. When he entered the hut, his mother was there, stirring a pot of soup over the open fire.
Ah, there you are.
How was the meeting?
As you'd expect. The elders could hardly bring themselves to talk of anything but the amplifier. As if claiming the bones or the teeth of a bear is going to solve their problems. And you? The Ula mentioned a son. Did you meet him?
Mm-hmm. I did. And some others.
And how'd that go?
All right. I, showed them some of my powers.
His mother handed him a cup of soup.
Some.
Just tricks.
Do you remember what I said?
To be careful. I know.
Our power is different. It is always met with fear or greed. Other Grisha either run from it, or they want it for themselves. You must be cautious.
But you use the cut in front of the elders.
It's a balance. Fear can be a powerful ally, but feed it too often, make it too strong, and it will turn on you. It would be unwise to show others the full extent of what the cut can do.
If you would only teach me, give me another chance.
Remember what happened last time, child?
He remembered. She had leveled a forest with one wave of her hand. Meanwhile, his own attempts had barely slashed through their bark.
You tried, you failed. We'll try again when you're older and have more control. You know we're not like the others. And not just because of the shadows. You can never let them too close. Tell me you understand.
I understand.
The next morning, Eric was outside their hut, splitting logs for the fire. He put down the axe and gathered the darkness in his hands. He split the log. Not all the way through, but at least the cut was in the right place. He was close. He raised the axe high to finish the job.
Eric!
He dropped the axe and sprawled backwards in the snow, wondering how much she'd seen.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Chopping wood.
Hmm.
Where's Sylvie?
I left her at home. I told her I have something important to do. I need your help. Did you hear the elders talking about the amplifier?
The bear?
I want it for myself.
He saw then that she had a bow and a quiver of arrows slung on her back.
You're going to hunt it? Alone?
Not alone.
I'm surprised Sylvie didn't want to come.
I didn't tell her. She doesn't understand about amplifiers anyway, and she's too little to hunt.
Have you hunted a bear before?
No, but I've never had a shadow summoner on my side either.
He followed Annika up a steep mountain trail until they reached a short rock face. She clambered up the rocks, grabbed onto a branch hanging down, and pulled herself over the top.
I saw what you did to Lev and the others. I need you to blind the amplifier. Remember, though, you're only there to help. I have to kill it if I want to claim its bones. The bones of an amplifier killed by my own hand. It doesn't count otherwise.
I know how amplifiers work.
Good. Here.
She stretched out a hand to help him up the rock face. He reached for her hand, then caught himself.
I've got it!
He pulled himself up, and they continued climbing up the trail.
Why do you want the amplifier anyway?
You saw me summon yesterday. I need it to make my power stronger.
You're worried about what Lev said.
Are you sorry you stood up for us?
What? No.
You should be his friend, not mine. That makes more sense. You're both strong.
Lev's an arse.
Your mother is powerful too.
I guess so.
You haven't asked about my mother.
Do you want me to?
The Druskala got her when we were still living near Overut.
I'm sorry. It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't have to be afraid.
She had stopped suddenly, half hidden behind a tree.
Annika, are you all right?
Look, bear tracks. They're huge.
She dashed forward and he followed her, tracking the bear to the top of the ridge.
Oh.
In the clearing before them, the snow was splashed over with bright blood and stamped with boot prints.
Where did all these tracks come from?
Maybe the elders are tracking it too.
No chance. They're still arguing over who gets the kill. They could be at it for ages.
Over here!
At the edge of the clearing, there was a wide, bloody trail in the snow, where something large and heavy had been dragged away, leading down the other side of the mountain.
Huh. There's something else.
This is Sylvie's hat.
You sure?
I embroidered it myself.
There was a splash of blood beside the hat. They looked at one another wide-eyed. Then they began racing down the bloody trail. Arnica led the way, plunging forward, skidding through the snow.
I think we're close to... I knew it.
They had reached an overlook. Below them was the village he and his mother had skirted on the way to the Grisha camp.
The Orkazatia village? How can we be here already?
It isn't far from the camp if you hike straight over the mountain. We have to go down there. If Sylvie is there, we...
Annika!
What if they're Druskal?
This far south? I can get us in without anyone knowing.
How?
I made Sylvie disappear, didn't I? If I can focus, I can hide us both.
Should I hold on to you?
No.
He shied away from her touch, trying to ignore the hurt in her eyes.
Sorry. It would disrupt my summoning. Just stay close.
Eric summoned darkness to cloak them as they left the cover of the trees and approached the village. It looked like the townspeople were getting ready for a festival. Women were hanging lanterns and bunting. Men rolled barrels of drink into the village square where a large bonfire was burning. Bands of children ran through the street, wild and laughing. Concealed by darkness, Arnica and Eric watched from an alley off the square, hoping for a glimpse of Sylvie's red cape.
They're all so unafraid. Can they really not see us?
They can't.
How do you do it?
It's just a trick of the light. Or the dark, I guess.
Sylvie!
Annika?
Sylvie, come out here, behind the buildings.
Are you there, Annika? I can't see you.
Just follow my voice.
Sylvie reached the doorway, the shadows like a black well of darkness. She hesitated, then stepped through. When she saw Annika, she jumped into her arms.
Sylvie!
Annika! You did the hiding trick. Wasn't it fun?
Sylvie, what were you doing here?
I was just trying to help.
What?
I knew you were sneaking out to find the bear. So I was going to find it for you, but I couldn't find it. And then I couldn't find our camp either.
Sylvie...
But then some people found me and brought me here, and... Annika, guess what? Tonight they're having...
Sylvie, did you tell them you came from the Grisha camp?
No! I said I was traveling north with my parents.
Do you have any idea how much danger you were in?
You're always worried about everything. They're nice.
You're too young to understand. We found your hat, and there was blood, and I...
Oh! I'll show you about the blood. See there?
Sylvie pointed back to the square. The giant bear was hanging by its back legs from a rack, the last of its blood draining out into a bucket.
They caught the big bear and brought it back here. They call it the demon bear, though.
What a waste.
What? You wanted to kill the big bear. Aren't you happy it's dead?
What's the point of Otkazatsia doing the killing?
They were afraid of it. That was reason enough.
We should leave.
No! We can't go yet! I was trying to tell you, tonight they're having a big party! Because they caught the bear! Can't we stay?
We're leaving.
But they have sweetbreads, and a whole stone house that just bakes them! And they hung lanterns, and there are kids my age!
We don't belong here, Sylvie.
I do!
Annika marched them out of the village, dragging a reluctant Sylvie by the hand. Eric followed. As they made their way back over the mountain, The sky began to redden with the setting sun. The path was narrow and steep, an unforgiving rock face on one side, and nothing but a sheer drop on the other.
Is this path really better?
There's no choice. This is the fastest way. It's going to be dark soon and we didn't bring lanterns. We should have taken some from the village. They had lots to spare.
Too late now.
They were so pretty, all strung up. I wish I could have let Sylvie stay. She's never been to a festival like that before. Neither have I. We're always on the move. It's the same for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like all Grisha.
Like all Grisha.
Imagine living in one place your whole life. A house with sturdy stone walls that didn't let the wind in. A kitchen with a big warm hearth. A plot of land out behind.
And seeing the same neighbours every day.
The same neighbours?
You never see the same faces when you're always running. There's never time to...
To make friends.
Yeah.
But you've only been here one day and you've already made friends. Don't tell me we're not friends by now. You've helped me protect Sylvie twice. That means something. Come on, Sylvie, keep up!
Oh, I don't want to.
We have to hurry, it's getting dark.
I want to go to the party.
Sylvie!
No!
She stamped her foot, and the edge of the narrow path began to shift.
Oh no!
Sylvie! Don't move! Stay where you are!
I'm going to shore up the snow! Sylvie, hold still! Sylvie!
The path crumbled away, and Sylvie teetered on the edge. Her sister lunged for her, but she was too late. Sylvie lost her balance and fell, and Annika slid after her. Without thinking, Eric grabbed hold of her hand. When Eric touched her hand, a plume of water sprang up from below the cliff's edge. It froze into a slender tree stretching high above them. Something was caught in its icy branches. Eric saw a flash of red.
Sylvie?
Annika, did you do that?
I...
She stared at Eric in confusion. Eric realized he was still holding her other hand, and he dropped it.
Annika! Annika! That was amazing!
Sylvie wrapped herself around the trunk of the ice tree and slid to the ground.
We have to tell everyone at camp!
Sylvie!
Lev will be so jealous!
Sylvie ran up the trail. Annika stared after her and then studied her hand again. The one that had summoned the ice tree.
You're an amplifier.
Yeah.
Foolish. Careless.
It's okay. I won't tell.
She took his hand. It was hard not to pull away. He was breaking his mother's fundamental rule for keeping them both alive. Never let them touch you.
That's three times now. I told you. That means something.
If my mother finds out, we'll have to leave and...
I don't want you to leave. I won't tell. I promise.
As the last light left the sky, they reached the Grisha camp. Sylvie had run ahead, and she was already telling her story to her father. Eric's mother and the Ula were listening too.
And it went foom! Right out the side of the cliff!
But where have you...
Sylvie has been telling us about your summoning. Is it true?
She's exaggerating.
No, I'm not!
I suppose all that practice has paid off.
Such a great improvement in so short a time. You must have been working hard. We'll have to see a demonstration. But later. The food is getting cold.
Just wait, Lev. Wait until you see what Annika can do.
Eric dodged his mother's suspicious gaze and followed the others to the longhouse. Annika was waiting for him inside. Most of the camp was already seated at the long wooden tables, helping themselves from heaping platters. Eric glanced around the room. He saw Lev, glaring at him with hatred in his eyes.
Eric!
Annika was waving. She and Sylvie had found seats on one of the benches. He sat beside Annika and served himself from the steaming dishes.
I don't want flatbread. I want babka, like from the party.
Shh! I told you not to mention the village. Just pretend it's sweetbread.
Eric picked at the deer meat and vegetables. The food of the north had never held much appeal for him.
You don't like turnips?
They're fine.
What's your favourite food?
I don't know.
How can you not know?
Anything sweet.
Puddings? Pies? What kind?
They're these candies. Coated in sesame?
What's sesame?
Just a fancy seed, I think. I saw it once in a market. I guess I like everything.
He wasn't sure what to say, how to answer what should be easy questions. This is what friends did. They talked about themselves. But he wasn't supposed to do that. He couldn't talk about all the places he'd travelled, the things he'd seen.
What's your favourite colour?
I don't have one.
How can you not have one?
Deep blue like the true sea. Red like the roofs of the Shu temples. The pure buttery colour of sunlight. All the colours you can't see in the dark.
I've never really thought about it.
Well, think about it. Mine's rainbow.
That's not a colour.
Is too!
Eric looked over at his mother, sitting beside the Ula. They were deep in discussion.
I should tell her what I've done.
Hey, do you want to come swimming with me tonight? Just you and me?
It's too cold to swim.
There's a pond fed by hot springs just up from the creek. I've never taken anyone there with me.
I don't think I should.
Oh, all right.
But as she turned away to speak to Sylvie, he could see that it wasn't. He remembered the feeling of Annika's hand in his. For the next few months, he could be Eric. He could belong to this place. He could have a home, maybe even friends. And friends broke rules together. He nudged his knee against her leg.
What time?
That night, Eric lay with his eyes closed until his mother's breathing turned deep and even. She was a light sleeper, but he had studied how to walk in silence. His bare feet moved soundlessly over the pelt-covered floor. He pulled on his clothing and slipped outside, carrying his boots. It was bright outside, the camp washed pale blue by the silvery light of a full moon. He waited until he was nearly to the trees to put on his boots, then headed along the path to the stream. He followed it upstream, moving quickly, hoping he wasn't too late. He climbed over a rise, and the pond came into view, bigger than he'd expected, moonlight rippling over its surface. Annika was there, floating on her back in the water, her white blonde hair spread around her head like a halo. As he watched, she turned and began gliding across the pond, her white shift trailing behind her.
Hi! Oh.
I thought you weren't coming.
I had to wait for my mother to fall asleep.
Eric pulled off his boots and stripped down to his linen. Then he plunged into the warm water. He dunked his head, and when he popped back up, elation rose in his chest. He could do this every night if he wanted.
Sylvie's going to be angry she missed this.
She was exhausted after today. I didn't want to wake her. And it's quieter without her. She's decided your mother is a princess, by the way.
Huh. princess of what?
Just a princess. She's really beautiful.
Annika pulled herself up on a rock and sat hugging her knees and watching him swim.
What was your mother like?
Gentle. She used to sing us to sleep. I told her I was too old for lullabies. I regret that every night now. The witch hunters had these horses. I know I was scared, but I swear they were as big as houses.
They do have special breeds of horses for the Druskala.
They do?
They're bred for size and demeanor. They don't spook at fire or storms. Perfect for battle against Grisha.
It wasn't a battle. It wasn't even a fight. My father couldn't protect us.
He got you and Sylvie away safely.
I guess. I'm going to dive.
She eased herself back into the water and kicked off for the shore. She clambered out of the pond and stood there, wringing water from her white shift.
Are you sure it's deep enough?
I do it all the time.
There was a large outcrop of rock on that edge of the pond. Annika scaled it, climbing easily, as Eric grew more nervous the higher she went.
Careful!
When she reached the top, she raised her hands, ready to launch herself into a dive. Eric shivered. Despite the warm water, the night felt suddenly cold.
What are you waiting for?
Nothing.
It's cold.
A chill passed through him. That was when he realized he could barely move his arms. He tried to lift his hands, but it was too late. The water felt thick around him. It was hardening to ice.
What are you doing? Annika?
He could still move his legs, but his chest and his arms were held, motionless, the ice pressing in around him. Annika climbed down from the boulder and walked toward him over the frozen pond. She had a heavy rock in her hand.
I'm sorry. I need an amplifier.
Annika!
Today was my one chance. The elders would never let me hunt an amplifier. They'd give it to a powerful Grisha like Lev or his father.
Annika, listen to me.
My father can't protect us.
I can protect you. We're friends.
We're lucky they even let us stay here.
What are you doing, Annika?
Yes, what are you doing, Annika?
Eric strained to turn his head to see. Lev was standing on the far side of the pond, arms folded.
Go away, Lev.
That little demon and I have unfinished business. So do we, for that matter.
Go back to camp, Lev.
Are you giving me orders?
Annika took a step closer to Eric and the ice creaked under her feet. She was right. She wasn't strong. She hadn't been able to freeze the ice all the way through.
Do it, Annika! If I'm going to die, I don't want Lev using my power.
What are you talking about?
Be quiet.
I'm an amplifier. And once Annika wears my bones, you won't be able to push her or her sister around anymore.
Shut up!
Understanding dawned on Lev's face. He pulled his knife and leapt onto the ice, sprinting toward them.
His bones are mine!
Closer.
Annika knelt on the ice and grabbed Eric by the shoulder. She raised the rock over her head.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Pain exploded over his right temple. Blood sprayed across the ice. His vision blurred, and he shook his head to clear it. Annika lifted the bloody rock again, tears streaming down her face. A gust of air knocked her back, sending her skidding over the ice.
No! He's mine!
Lev pounded over the ice toward Eric, his knife in his hand. Annika crawled over to him and lifted the rock again. Desperate, Eric brought his knee up as hard as he could and slammed it against the ice. He drove his knee through the ice and it shattered into pieces all around him. He wrenched his arms free and plunged beneath the surface. Underwater, He could see nothing but darkness. He had to get to shore before she had time to freeze the pond again, but he had no idea which direction to go. As he kicked toward shore, a hand closed around his ankle. Arnica climbed on top of him, using her weight to hold him down. Then Ned was there, shoving her aside, grabbing a handful of Eric's shirt and lifting his knife.
He's mine!
No!
Lev grabbed Eric by the throat and shoved his head under. Water flooded up his nose and into his lungs. He struggled, trying to pry the hand from his throat, but Lev was too strong.
I'm going to die here. They'll wear my bones. Fight.
He was standing in a field with his mother.
What are you waiting for?
Can't we stop training? It's dark out.
What should that matter to you? Like calls to like. The darkness belongs to you. As long as this heart beats, you keep fighting. Alexander.
Fight!
Eric opened his eyes. He raised his arm and lashed out blindly with all his terror and rage. Too weak to stand, Eric crawled towards the shore on his hands and knees. In the bright moonlight, he saw blood pluming in the water. Lev was floating face down. There was something strange about the way his body was bobbing in the water. Then he realized. The cut. He'd finally mastered it. It had torn Lev in half. Arnica was sprawled in the shallows, her eyes wide and panicked. A deep gash ran from her shoulder up through the side of her throat. She had a hand pressed to her neck to try to stop the flow of blood. Her fingers and sleeve were dripping with it.
Help me, please. Eric.
That's not my name.
He watched as her eyes went glassy, as her hand dropped away, her empty gaze fastened on the moon. Something tickled his face. He swiped at it, and his hand came away bloody. The blow to his head. That was why it was hard to think.
They'll blame me for this. Me and my mother will be put to death. Unless I can give them something else to hate.
Eric knew what he had to do. He knew what he could do now. He waited until the sky had begun to lighten. Only then did he summon the shadows and draw a dark blade.
How many were there, Eric?
Eric opened one of his eyes. The other was swollen shut. He was back in the snug little hut, lying on his mother's pallet. The Ula and Arnica's father were leaning over him.
How many?
Six. Maybe seven.
Fjordan or Ravkan?
They spoke Ravkan.
Enough.
Matryoshka.
His mother was at the foot of the bed. Two of the elders were standing by the door.
We need to evacuate the camp. If they found the children last night, there will
be... We're not going anywhere. We are going to raise that Utkazatsia village and take 10 of their children for every one of ours they took.
We don't have the soldiers for an attack. We must use caution.
My son is dead. So is your daughter. My caution perished with them.
What were you even doing out there, Eric?
Swimming.
You never should have left the camp after dark.
I know. We were just... I only wanted...
They were being children.
If we're to mount an attack, we need your strength.
First, I see to my son.
His leg is nearly severed. We have healers.
One look from her was enough to silence the Ula. Even in his grief, even in his rage, such was her power. When all the men were gone, his mother sat beside him and took his hand in hers.
I'm sorry,
You survived. There's nothing to apologize for.
At dawn the next day, Eric and his mother were ready to depart. She was mounted on her horse, while he was mounted on a white pony, a prize claimed from yesterday's attack on the Otkazatsia village. Eric's leg was thickly bandaged, and he slumped in his saddle. Only the Ula was there to see them off. The rest of the camp was busy packing up.
You will be all right?
He will be if his wounds are kept clean.
I'm glad, Eric. I could not have borne another death this day.
The Ula reached out to Eric with a reassuring hand.
Let him be.
We'll need to leave here as well. Word will travel after what we've done. There will be consequences. You have a place with us, Lena. It's safer to travel together.
You'll forgive us if we don't wait. You promised us safety once before, Ula.
I thought... I believed it was mine to offer. But maybe there is no safe place for our kind.
Yeah.
Eric was half dozing in his saddle as his mother took his reins and led them away from the Grisha camp. They were bound for the other Ravka, a secret country of hidden caves and empty quarries, abandoned villages and forgotten freshwater springs, places where you could hide out from a storm or heal from an injury, where you could enter as one person and emerge as another.
Are you awake? That was very smart, you know, to use the cut on yourself.
She froze the lake.
Clever girl.
Do I smell smoke?
Probably.
The village?
They stopped at a break in the trees and looked down into the valley. The Otkazatsia village was a smouldering ruin.
They wouldn't give up the riders who attacked you. So we killed them all.
All of them?
Every man, woman, and child. Then we burned their houses to the ground.
I'm sorry.
I'm not. Do you understand me? I would burn 1,000 villages, sacrifice 1,000 lives to keep you safe. It would have been us on a pyre if you hadn't thought quickly. But I cannot hate that boy and girl for what they tried to do. The way we live, the way we're forced to live, it makes us desperate. The Ula is right. There is no safe place. There is no haven. Not for us.
He closed his eyes, shutting out the sight of the ruined village. He imagined another world. A gleaming white city rising out of darkness, his darkness. An army of Grisha walking proudly together. And he made a vow.
No safe place. No haven. But there will be. I will make one.
We hope you've enjoyed this production of Demon in the Wood by Lee Bardugo, a Macmillan Audio production for Roaring Book Press. This title was produced by Real Jetpacks. Text copyright 2022 Lee Bardugo. Production copyright 2022 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.